In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The fifth petition. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much, and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. The explanations of the other petitions of the Lord's Prayer to this point all begin much the same way. God's name is certainly holy in itself. The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. Good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers. On the one hand, the explanation to this, the fifth petition, would begin in the same way. For as Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And John writes in his first epistle that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. By grace and by grace alone, God does all things for us. And chiefly, he has sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins with his precious blood shed on the cross. We were not worthy of this atoning sacrifice, nor did we deserve it, but Christ died for us and for the sins of the world by his grace alone. That's why our Lord can pray for those who were crucifying him, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And say to the criminal crucified next to him, Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. If Jesus can pray that even those who are putting him to death be forgiven, and that a robber who well deserved death could be welcomed into heaven on that very day, then the forgiveness of sins must be by grace alone, apart from our works, yes, even apart from our prayer. However, on the other hand, though God certainly gives daily bread, for example, to everyone without our prayer, even to all evil people, so that those who are evil in their unbelief and rejection of God still receive all that they need to support their body and life, forgiveness of sins is not received by everyone, though Jesus Christ won it for all people. But those who are still evil in their unbelief, in their rejection of God, retain their sins and will perish so long as they do not repent. Whoever does not believe is not forgiven. For unbelief rejects that free gift of God, the forgiveness of sins, remains in guilt, leading to condemnation. And this is why the devil is hard at work among us, along with the world and with the sinful flesh, tirelessly working to deceive and mislead you away from God's gift of forgiveness, into sin, into unrepentance. Though we as Christians certainly hallow God's name and have his kingdom among us, though we seek and submit to his will, though we realize that God has given us every gift and receive our daily bread with thanksgiving, we also daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. We are saints, but we are also sinners. We are new men, but we still have the old Adam. That's why every single day we are tempted, and often fall, to all kinds of sins. Blasphemy, sloth, disobedience, anger, lust, greed, gossip, envy, and far more than I could name. Devil would have you fall into these sins. But having fallen into such sins, the devil does not rest on his laurels. The devil is not merely content with leading you into shame and vice, no. Once he's accomplished that, that's when his real attacks begin. That's when he works doubly hard to bring you into false belief and despair. The devil will tempt you, once you've sinned, either into pride or to hopelessness. He'll tempt you to ignore your own sins and to excuse them, while simultaneously looking down upon the people around you and judging them as worse sinners than yourself. Or he will trouble your conscience with his accusations so severely that you begin to doubt and disbelieve God's love for you and his promise of forgiveness. Either way, beginning with shame and vice and then going on to false belief and despair, leading you to pride or to hopelessness, Satan's ultimate goal for you is that you would turn away from God, turn away from his grace, turn to the devil, become ensnared once more in his hellish chains. For this reason, Christ our dear Lord has included this petition, a prayer for forgiveness, for us Christians to pray in the Lord's Prayer. He himself has commanded us to pray in this way, for he knows our weakness. He gives us this prayer to pray because we are sinners. In this petition, we first confess our sins and our unworthiness of God's goodness, but in this prayer, we also confess our faith in the mercy of God granted to us for Jesus' sake. We first acknowledge that we, though baptized children of God, still daily sin much and surely deserve God's wrath. But then we also ask that God would not look at our sins, nor would he give us that condemnation that we rightly deserve. Instead, we pray that God would deal graciously with us and forgive us, just as he has promised. And just like all of the other petitions of the Lord's Prayer, God certainly hears and answers this petition. It is pleasing to him. For as Jesus says, there's joy in heaven before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And thus, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which he made atonement for your sins and won forgiveness for the whole world, God grants you the free and full forgiveness of all your sins by grace alone, received by you through faith and faith alone. And God is superabundant with all his gifts, most especially with this gift of grace and forgiveness, which is why he doesn't just forgive you once when you're baptized, now and then when you come to church, here and there. No, God forgives you daily and richly. His mercy is boundless. Consider all of the ways that God has ordained for you to receive the forgiveness of sins. Through his holy word, the precious gospel, through the waters of holy baptism, through the declaration of absolution that your sins are forgiven, through his very body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. By this we learn that forgiveness in Christ is our very life as a Christian. It is the reality in which we live and move and have our being. Being forgiven isn't merely the first step on the road to salvation. Rather, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And so everything in the Christian church is ordered toward the goal of receiving the forgiveness of sins through the word and sacraments. To comfort you, to encourage you, as long as you live in this world. That's why that petition for the forgiveness of sins is found at the heart and center of the Lord's Prayer. But not just God's forgiveness for you, but also your forgiveness of other people. So our Lord Jesus included the words, as we forgive those who trespass against us, in that very same petition in which we ask for the Father's forgiveness for our trespasses. For you see, if you have been graciously reconciled to God your Father through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, you cannot help but extend that same forgiveness to others. Take, for example, David, as we prayed in the psalm this evening. He who had sinned grievously, committing adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, whom he then sentenced to death. Upon praying for the Lord's forgiveness for this grievous sin, also declared, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." David had sinned greatly against the Lord, and yet he was forgiven. So also he would teach the Lord's great forgiveness by showing mercy to others. In the same way, just as we daily sin much against God and yet are forgiven daily and richly by grace alone, so we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. This is a divine command, yes, that we must forgive others their trespasses. But it's also a divine promise. For Jesus said, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now, this doesn't mean that our forgiveness of others earns God's forgiveness. Again, that's by grace. God freely forgives without condition, out of pure grace alone. And yet God has attached our forgiveness to this petition as a sign and seal of his forgiveness. And so, as you daily and richly receive God's forgiveness for your sins, given by grace alone, for the sake of the death of Jesus Christ alone, received by faith alone, you will be then strengthened to go forth and forgive those who trespass against you daily and richly. And as you daily and richly forgive those who trespass against you, you'll be reminded of God's daily and rich forgiveness. And so the cycle of the Christian life continues, day by day, being forgiven and forgiving, forgiving and being forgiven, day after day, until you finally come to your heavenly reward. For though you daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment, God daily and richly forgives all your sins. By grace alone, you are a Christian, a child of God and an heir of the kingdom of heaven. You are a new creation, who is even now being conformed to the image of Christ your Lord. And so we pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. By grace, God does. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we do too. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.